Even now I am no expert on racehorses. They form a little branch of practice all by itself, with its own stresses, its own mystique. In my short spell in Derby, I had had very little to do with them, as Siegfried was fascinated by anything equine, and usually gobbled up anything in that line which came along. So my practical experience was negligible. I wasn't at all reassured when I saw my patient. The knee was a terrible mess. He had tripped at the bottom of the ramp and come down with his full weight on the stony ground. The lacerated skin hung down in bloody ribbons, exposing the joint capsule over an area of about 6 inches, and the extensor tendons gleamed through a tattered layer of fascia. The beautiful three-year-old held the limb up, with the toe just touching the ground. The ravaged knee made a violent contrast with the sleek, carefully groomed coat. Examining the wound, gently filling round the joint, I was immediately thankful for one thing. It was a quiet animal. Some light horses are so highly strung that the slightest touch sends them up in the air, but this one hardly moved as I tried to piece together the jigsaw of skin pieces. Another lucky break. There was nothing missing. I turned to the stable lad, small, square, hands deep in his coat pockets, who was standing watching. "I'll clean up the wound and stitch it, but he'll need some expert care when you get him home. Can you tell me who'll be treating him?"
"Yes, sir. Mr. Brayley Reynolds. He'll have charge of him."
I came bolt upright from my crouching position. The name was like a trumpet call echoing down from my student days. When you talked about horses, you usually talked about Brayley Reynolds sooner or later. I could imagine the great man inspecting my handiwork.
"And who did you say treated this horse?"
"Harriet?
Harriet?"
I got down to the job again with my heart beating faster. Mercifully, the joint capsule and tendon sheaths were undamaged. No escape of synovia. Using a solution of chinosol, I swabbed out every last cranny of the wound till the ground around me was white with cotton wool plagets. Then I puffed in some iodoform powder and tacked down the loose shreds of fascia. Now the thing was to make a really good job of the skin to avoid disfigurement if possible. I chose some fine silk and a very small suture needle and squatted down again. I must have stayed there for nearly an hour, pulling the flaps of skin carefully into position and fastening them down with innumerable tiny sutures. There is a fascination in the repairing of a ragged wound, and I always took pains over it even without an imaginary Brayley Reynolds peering over my shoulder. When I finally straightened up, I did so slowly, like an old man easing the kinks from neck and back. With shaking knees, I looked down at the head lad almost without recognition. He was smiling.
"You've made a proper job of that," he said. "It looks nearly good as new."
"I want to thank you, sir. He's one of my favourites, not just because he's a good horse, but he's kind."
He patted the three-year-old's flank.
"Well, I hope he does all right."
I got out a packet of gauze and a bandage. "I'm just going to cover the knee with this, and then you can put on a stable bandage. I'll give him a shot against tetanus, and that's it." I was packing my gear away in the car when the head lad hovered again at my side.
"You back horses?"
I laughed. "No, hardly ever. Don't know much about it." "Well, never mind." The little man looked round him and lowered his voice.
"But I'll tell you something to back this afternoon. Camel, in the first race, he's one of ours and he's going to win. You'll get a nice price about him."
"Well, thanks.
It'll give me something to do. I have half a crown on him."
The tough little face screwed up in disgust.
"No, no, put a fiver on him."
He walked rapidly away. I don't know what madness took hold of me, but by the time I got back to Danaby, I had decided to take his advice. There had been something compelling about that last hoarse whisper and the utter confidence in the black pebble eyes. The little chap was trying to do me a good turn. I had noticed him glancing at my old jacket and rumpled flannels, so different from the natty outfit of the typical horse vet. Maybe he thought I needed the money. I dropped in at the Midland Bank and drew out £5, which at the time represented approximately half my available capital. I hurried round the remaining visits, had a quick lunch, and got into my best suit. The
There was plenty of time to get to the course, meet the officials, and get my fiver on camel before the first race at 2:30.